me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Well, welcome to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, and I am so happy to be with you. I hope you had an incredible day. You know, I realized something I wanted to share with you, and you very well may know this, but yesterday, well, you don't know the first part, but yesterday, my day started off with a bang, right around 6:30, already children needing families, and that's what we do, so that's fantastic. But you know, I noticed that throughout the day, even mostly in that early morning, it was just like bam, bam, bam. But I also began to feel some stress about a few things. And, you know, I do carry a very heavy, weighty responsibility at Family Link and then now at their huge project, Legacy Ranch. But I want to take my own advice on this show, and I want to live out this destiny and this privilege of the responsibility with great joy. And so, you know, I kind of turned my own thinking around and I told God, thank you once again for this incredible privilege of all that we get to do, even though it comes with as well some trying things. Usually it's people, and it's generally not the children that are trying, just so you know. And so I began to turn my thinking around, and then once again I was grateful for the opportunity, even when the opportunity has some challenges attached to it. And then this morning, though, so yesterday morning, I really didn't have time. I mean, I really just went straight into work because it was needed. So this morning, you know what I did? I did start off right away early in the morning because work starts very, very early. And however, you know what the difference was? The difference was that I started off with worship music. And that might seem like something simple to you, but you know what? Maybe you had a challenging morning, even this morning. Maybe you were rushing to get children off to school, trying to get to work. I don't know, whatever you do in the morning. But for many people, mornings can be a challenging time. So I encourage you just to do one simple thing to change everything. And that is to turn on worship music. And so my favorite is at iBethel.org. When you're on there, of course, you can buy some music on there, which I love to do. I think I have the majority of the CDs. But you can also listen to some of the worship services from the actual church. And they're so amazing. And I love doing that because even when you have a big CD collection, you still kind of sometimes get tired of hearing. I actually don't get that tired of it. My family is like, do you know you listen to that CD like 5 times? And I'm like, hey, I love the songs. I love the message. I love how it makes me feel. But when I listen to the worship music on iBethel.org, then I get to hear from different worship services because they have them from months ago. And I love that. By the way, I don't get paid by them. And I'm telling you about a free service, so just keep that in mind. So that's a great way to start your day. You can also, of course, listen to worship music on Pandora. But when I'm listening, and even as I'm working at the same time, and I just am hearing those words, you know, one of the songs, one of my favorite songs is, you're where I want to be, you're where I want to be. My heart, it beats for this one thing. I'm so in love with you. I'm so in love with you. And as you begin to realize, why is my heart beating? My heart is beating to worship God. Why am I doing what I'm doing to help these children and find more families and press on through to Legacy Ranch, which is going to be officially opening in just a few weeks? Why? Because it's the heart of God, and because God loves these children and these families even more than I could even imagine. But he's downloaded a part of his heart into my heart. And so whatever it is that you're going through, you may be having the most awesome, wonderful, happy life. I hope so. But because we're dealing with humans in this world, chances are you might get frustrated sometimes. So I just encourage you, no matter what time of day it is, you can get it on your phone, you can get it on your computer, your iPod, whatever. And just know when you worship, when you just take the words in and when you say them back to God, God, I love you. Help me to be your hands and feet, etc. You know, all the things, think about what are these words of these songs? What do they say? And when you believe them, when you say them to God, when you take time out just to sit, you know, sometimes I'll just sit and have my palms raised and I'm just like going, God, I need you. I need to know you. I need to feel your presence today. I need to be filled with your presence today so that I can continue to do the important things that you've called me to do. But you know what? You're called to important things. And so I encourage you to do that. You know, it's great for your children too. If your kids are struggling, if they're arguing, sometimes I'm just like, okay, time out. And we just have some worship time, because it's really hard to argue with your brother or sister when you're hearing such great things. Another one of my favorite songs is, I'm going to blank out. I should play it for you guys sometime. But it's talking about your destiny. It's calling children and adults into their great destiny, that, you know, you are meant for something important, and partnering with God, there's nothing more exciting than that. And so that's what we're inviting you to do today. Will you partner with God? Because I think it's funny that even as Christians, sometimes we kind of live our normal life. And then if you go to Wednesday night church or Sunday morning church, then you're like, oh, hello, God. There you are. And maybe you pray a few times during the day, but it's different when you say, God, here is my entire life. Take me to the least of these. See, that's the prayer that Heidi Breaker prayed. You really should check them out. You're going to have to be inspired by going to irismin.org. That's the prayer that Chris and I and our children prayed right around 8 years ago. We said, God, here's our entire life. Take us to the least of these. We're yours. And even though we were already living a life of ministry, God called us to something so much bigger, to change the world in a way that we couldn't even imagine. And now here we are, placed over 1,100, we need to do a new count, 1,100 children and families. We're opening up Legacy Ranch, which I'm still kind of shocked about. I told my family this morning, and Ariana was eating breakfast, the boys were still, weren't in the kitchen yet. It's Ariana, Donovan, and Chris. And well, Sierra wasn't there either. Anyways, there's just a couple of kids in the kitchen. And I said, you know what? I just realized something amazing as I was saving some pictures for Legacy Ranch into a Legacy Ranch file. I already had a file in my computer called Legacy Ranch with pictures. And they were just pictures that we could use to get ideas for Legacy Ranch, like maybe for flyers and things like that. But we didn't own the property yet. And so they're just things I got off the internet. And I said, you guys know what? First of all, like the Legacy Ranch that we actually own now has some pictures that are very similar to some of the pictures that I just been saving over the years. I said, isn't that amazing? And on top of that, we don't even have to use, quote, sample pictures off of the internet. We have actual Legacy Ranch. It's amazing. I'm still wrapping my mind around the enormity of it. See, it was a dream. It was just a dream that God downloaded into my heart. My family took hold of the vision, and here, along with many other people, and here we are today. So my daughter, Ariana, who's 11, says, well, you shouldn't be surprised at all. God gave you those pictures. He placed the dream in your heart, and then now you have it. Like, that's not surprising. That's what God does. I said, oh, to have the faith of little children. But it's so neat, and all my children are excited. Like, at night, you know, the boys will be brainstorming because they're really into the school. They're 18 and 15. Oh, well, the school could be designed this way. And just, oh, don't worry, Mom. We'll design the school, like meaning the floor plan, the architectural. Now they might need a little help. But I said, you know what? Feel free to put it down on paper. Do research on the internet. And we'll definitely take all your incredible ideas. And they say things like, hey, we've been in school, like, you know, elementary, middle school, and high school a lot more recently than you. So we know what kids like, and we know what works, and we know how the classroom should be set up and the gym. And I'm going, you know what? I'm definitely going to take all your great ideas into consideration, and we're going to work on this together. So it's a family dream, but you know what? You could be a part of this dream. We invite you to come this weekend, the next weekend, really probably just about every weekend for quite a while. But this Saturday and next Saturday is what we're building forward right now. And we're going to be having a volunteer team. We'll be doing a barbecue potluck. We'll be painting. If you want to see some pictures and get an idea of what you might be doing, hey, friend me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily. Wilde is spelled W-I-L-D-E. And when you find me that way, there's no spaces. So it's facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily. And you'll see pictures of Legacy Ranch, see pictures of some of our volunteers and awesome families painting. So you're invited to come out, bring your family, come pour into a place that's going to change the lives of many. And you can actually be a part before it officially opens. So I really hope to see you. To get signed up or to get more information about any of our volunteer days, go to familylinkkids.com. And also, we have training coming up in San Antonio, but anybody in Texas is invited. Well, even if you don't live in Texas, you're welcome to come. And it starts February 18th. More information on our website. So I am so excited to introduce to you our very special guest. As soon as we come back from a break, you are listening to Life Matters. Our guest today is Judith with AbbasChild.com, and you are going to learn so much. I can't wait. I even have my pen and paper handy, so I hope you do as well. We'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, and I am just so excited to be with you. And I'm also so excited to be with our very special guest, Judith with Abba's Child. Judith, we had an incredible time last time, and I got some great feedback from some of our families, and we're going to go further today. I'm just so excited. I know that as families are listening, you know, whether they have biological, foster, or adopted children, we're going to be sharing with them things that really could change their lives. So welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
So take us back a little bit and tell us the history of Abba's Child. Why, first of all, why did you call it that, and what is it that you do?
Well, I started doing this work about 10 years ago, and I was working in a private Christian school and was tutoring some children and began to realize that there were problems that were making it really hard for them to really make any progress, that they were going to need tutoring year after year after year, and that I could kind of keep them afloat but wasn't getting at the underlying issues. And I started doing a lot of research and realized that there was a lot of new material coming out about how the brain could be changed to function differently, and that the earlier you started working with children, the better results you got, and that children didn't have to live with dyslexia or auditory or visual processing problems or memory issues, that there were things that we could do that would actually fundamentally change how they would live out their lives. And I called it Abba's Child because most of the children who came for help didn't see themselves as God's children. They didn't see themselves as being unique and special and having wonderful gifts. They felt that they were really stupid and unable to learn. And part of working with these children was to really help them see themselves with new eyes and to see themselves the way God had created them to be.
You know, and so as a parent, a lot of times we just think, well, unless the problem is so severe that it really impacts our daily life, but there are also sometimes challenges with our children, like this child just can't understand math. The brain just doesn't get it. We just go, well, I mean, I guess it's just the way it is. Yeah, and you might tell your child, look, listen, you need to pay attention to what the teacher is saying. If the other kids are getting it, then you should be able to get it. You got to do your homework. Just focus.
Yes, that happens a lot. And a lot of times there are things that run generationally in families. And so, you know, a parent will say, well, I was like that and my mom was like that, and so I guess that's just the way it is. And yet, very often there is a reason. Often for children with math problems, they may be having underlying auditory problems, and so the teacher is up there giving explanations, and they're simply not getting what is being explained. And now they go home with homework, and they don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. And so then they might, you know, just kind of mess around, put it off. They might even say, they might lie and say, I don't have homework. This might be the child that's sitting there at the table, and the parents are going, you know what, I'm going to outlast this child. Well, you're not going to be able to play until you get it done. And yeah, it could be hours later. Why would that be damaging to a child?
Well, let me just back up a little bit. I had that exact problem come up with a child this week. I met with the child's teacher, and she said, no homework is being handed in. And so the next time I was with the child, we started talking about it, and it turned out that assignments were not being written on the board. The teacher was speaking and explaining what the assignments were, and this child has an auditory processing problem. And so she would go home with this work, and she'd have no idea what to do with it. And I said, well, why don't you go and talk to the teacher? And she said, I'm embarrassed because I'm afraid the other kids are going to think I'm not smart.
Mm.
And so she was cut off on, you know, the one avenue by not being able to understand, and then was cutting herself off because of fear of what other people were going to think about her.
And so give us an age range of this child.
She's in fifth grade, but, I mean, these problems start in, I mean, I have parents who have first graders, and they're spending 3 hours a night trying to get homework done, and the whole family is in an uproar about it.
And that's so hard. They might be thinking, ah, this child is just rebellious. Oh, this child is just it won't do it, but I'm a parent. I'm in charge. I'm going to make them do it.
Right.
So before we go into some of the changes that families can make, if a family responds the way we've shown a few different approaches over the last few minutes, what can that do to a child emotionally, physically?
Oh, it's huge. For one thing, you know, a lot of children are walking around with headaches and stomach aches and digestive problems and nightmares and aggression and fear, and a lot of it is based on the fact that they have learning problems that are not being dealt with, and because most of their day is being spent in school, that's where their concept of who they are is primarily being developed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you deal with those issues, you see just a huge change in not only personality, but kids who are not sleeping are sleeping. They're not having digestive problems anymore. I mean, just major changes like that. And then you also see that there's peace in the family because the child is not arguing with their parent all the time, and the parents aren't arguing with each other over what should be happening. And the children also begin to get a sense of themselves as having certain gifts and talents that they're now free to develop. You know, this is interesting. A lot of times you might have a child who's either like very artistic or a very good athlete, and if they're not doing well in school, the parents will take away the privileges of the very thing that child is gifted to do.
Yes, that's right. And then people say things like, well, that seems appropriate because they have to understand how important the regular school is, the math, the English, as opposed to just the sport. So why, and you know what, we just had that problem with one of our foster girls who's about 11, and her school is trying to take her out of 4-H, not being able to show her 4-H project, which is something that she and the family has worked really a long time to get to this point of being able to show the project, because she was failing in one subject. Now, this is a girl that didn't want to fail, that missed school in and out, and so was just trying to essentially catch up, but the school was trying to punish her and not let her show this. And so the foster mom called me, she's like, oh my gosh, this is so important for her self-esteem. This is so important for her to get to finish what she started, to be able to show this project in 4-H. I should not take this away. And so she was actually taking it up to the very highest authority to get that change. So why is that important, that they should be able to excel in something that they're excelling in, even if they're having a challenge in other areas?
It's wonderful, by the way, that the mom is doing that, because so often
yes.
These kids really need a champion in their corner, because they're not able to get through this themselves. But you know, there was a movie that was made years ago called Common Miracles, and they took kids who were failing, and they looked at, what is this child's gifting? And for some it was music, for some it was art, for some it was dance, for some it was being able to relate well to people. And they made sure that that child was having exposure and learning in the areas of their giftedness every single day.
Mm.
And what they found is that once that child's self-esteem was established and they were doing things that they were really interested in, their reading score started to go up, their math scores started to go up. But when you pull all that stuff away, it leaves the child with nothing to feel good about. And it doesn't make them feel like, I want to learn my math and reading. It helps them to dig their feet in even harder and just go, there's nothing in my life that's working.
Okay, so that's one reason. That's more of an emotional reason. Can you also explain why there may be, they actually can learn more? You know, how music can actually help the brain, et cetera. What would be some of the physical reasons why having a child in either an after-school activity or something in school that they really enjoy and excel in, what's another reason why they might that would actually help their brain?
Well, we tend to think that our brains only develop doing math and reading, and in fact, our brains are much more sophisticated than that, and we have two hemispheres that need to learn how to work and to coordinate with each other in order to be able to do math and reading. And so, you know, very often you have kids who haven't had music, who haven't had a lot of outdoor activity, and they're coming in and they're trying to learn how to do math and reading, and their brain is not in a place where it's ready to learn. And a lot of times it's these other areas that are actually part of what the brain needs to develop correctly.
Wow. And then this can happen, these kind of challenges we're talking about, you know, it's not that the parents have done something wrong. It's not that, I'm sure you meet parents that, you know, do everything they can to live a healthy lifestyle. They might have organic food. They might use supplements that really help enhance the body. And yet their children are still struggling. So first of all, we want to take away any shame
Right. Any
parents might feel like, you know, how come all the kids on the street seem to be doing well in school from what I can tell and what the parents are talking about. But why is my child struggling? Can you speak to that?
For one thing, the issue of shame is really something that's deadening, in the sense that when people are feeling shame, very often they don't go for help. So shame is not a helper to begin with. But the other thing is that I think, you know, most of the parents who come to see me feel like everybody else's child is doing well except mine. And what they don't understand is that actually one out of every three or four kids today has a learning problem.
Oh, wow.
One out of less than 100 children today is somewhere on the autistic spectrum. Mm. And parents feel very, very isolated and don't realize that what they're experiencing, part of it can be genetic, but a lot of it today is cultural, that our culture has changed so much, and it's changed in ways that do not support good, you know, mental, physical, emotional development in children.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, life has changed. You know, I'm in my 60s now, and so, you know, I have the privilege of being able to look back and go, wow, things were really different then. And, for example, when I was growing up, I didn't grow up with a television set. I didn't grow up with computers. I didn't grow up with all the other gadgetry that's available today.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So my time was spent finding things to do, making up things, spending time with other children, riding my bike outside, playing all kinds of games. I mean, just a tremendous amount more physical activity that children have today.
Yes.
My diet was different. You know, there was not fast food available in those days. There was hardly even frozen food available. You know, and it was all local and seasonal. We weren't getting truckloads of stuff. I lived in New York. We weren't getting truckloads of stuff from California. And so
mm-hmm.
parents have to be much, much more strategic about their choices today than my parents ever had to be.
Oh, that's interesting. You definitely touched on something we want to talk about, too, when we get back. The matter of TV, because I know sometimes when we're just, like, really busy and we've got to get something done, what do? Sometimes we just turn on the TV and go, well, it's not like it's a bad show. It's SpongeBob or it's Sprouts or it's Sesame Street. And so they might think, well, I know, I mean, I'm not going to let them watch something bad, but I just need to have some time. But I think one of the challenges, though, is sometimes that time extends into maybe even 2 hours, or then you take a little break and it's like, oh, now I got to do something else. Well, let's just turn the TV back on just for a little bit. And so in the long run, that might seem helpful at that moment, because then the parents' hands are free and they can go make a phone call or do something that they need to do without the child, you know, around their legs if it's a toddler. But why does that not work in the long run? So we're going to talk about that and so many other things when we come back. And then we're going to hear some stories. I love the stories of success. And we've kind of set up some reasons as to why kids are having challenges, but guess what? You're also going to hear some stories of success. Things can change, and that makes me so excited. So you're listening to Life Matters. Check us out and also contact us and donate at familylinkkids.com. Friend me on Facebook for updates to see pictures of Legacy Ranch. Find out what's going on a daily basis. That's facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily. And go to Abba's Child, ABBASchild.com. We'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Well, welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link. And, you know, I am so excited about this topic. I wish we didn't even have to have the topic. But you know what? The truth is we have children that are struggling in this world, and we want to help them. And we have found ways that can truly change their lives. And that, to me, is just so amazing and so worthwhile. So, but let's touch on the TV aspect, because I know it's so easy, myself included. I have to stop myself, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I usually think, well, it'll just be a few minutes, which could easily turn into an hour.
Yeah.
And so what is TV when we're turning it on, even if it's not something, quote, bad, not violent, just a cartoon? What's happening to the child's brain over time?
Not a whole lot. And that's part of the problem. The other thing is that children today expect to be entertained. There is so much entertainment out there. And what ends up happening with that is that basically the child's own creativity is not finding ways to be expressed. And you hear kids walking around saying, I'm bored, I don't mm-hmm. know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
At our learning center, we just went and just got lots and lots of imaginary kind of playthings for kids to work with while they were doing auditory therapy, because they're basically wearing a headset that's reprogramming what's happening between the ear and the brain, and so they have an hour, and many of our kids came in and went, where's the television set? where are the computers? Where are all these different things? And we had all kinds of play stuff. And usually by the time the children had been there for 2 weeks, they were not wanting to leave. They were finding that there were all kinds of things that they were getting involved in that they didn't have available to them at home.
Mm.
And were creating amazing worlds with all these different materials that they don't normally have a chance to do.
And that would be a neat idea for someone to do at home. Like, what kind of things do you have in your therapy room?
One of our most favorite things here is a wooden train set, and it's a really big one. I mean, when the kids get it set up, it really covers a whole room. We also have a big wooden treehouse that has all kinds of pulleys and levers and things like that. We have tons of different art materials, and a lot of it is stuff that can be, you know, is recycled stuff that I just collect at home. And then have, you know, lots of paper and pens and clay and paint and, you know, creating a place for kids to just get in there and, you know, do collages, do painting, do sculptures. The kids absolutely love it.
Mm. And so when you go back to TV, though, because what I understand is that one of the things that's a problem with it is that it's just flashing information, like... because my kids like SpongeBob, I'll use him. Like, first, now he's doing this, now he's doing that, now he's, oh my gosh, look, that's coming out of the sky. And
right.
So what's the problem with it going so fast, and then all of a sudden when they're just expected to do what all the kids used to do in the world, which is play, and they don't know how to play. But what's going on with that? Why is the fact that they're being bombarded with information, how does that actually, I was trying to use the word benefit ADHD, that's not what I mean, but how does it actually encourage ADHD?
Well, again, it's saying don't focus on anything, and it's not helping, for example, to develop things like short-term memory or long-term memory, doing that kind of thing. But you know, for teachers today, it's like that's what they're competing with, is a child who is watching something where the stimulation is changing instantly over and over and over again, and they're not really having a chance to get into anything. They're also, I mean, kids are meant to you know, get into the world, to handle it, to touch it, smell it, taste it, you just have this one flat screen in front of you, and the child is sitting there passively rather than really engaging what's happening and interacting with it and impacting it.
And so I think sometimes we think with, like, ADHD children, oh, look, but at least they're still, they are focused. They can watch TV. But what happens is all that information in their brain and the way it affects their brain, then it affects their behavior later. So essentially you're going to pay for it. The more hours you sit them in front of the TV, you're going to pay for it later in their behavior.
Exactly. And, you know, there are so many children who are being diagnosed with ADD and ADHD, and it's really a major issue for me because you don't take a blood test for ADD or ADHD. You're looking at a series of behaviors and saying those are behaviors of ADD, ADHD, but they're also the behaviors of a lot of children who have dyslexia, who have emotional issues going on that haven't been resolved, or who have auditory or visual processing problems. You know, basically the child is not able to focus, they're not able to maintain their attention, they're jittery and moving around a lot. And because pediatricians and teachers are not trained to look at and diagnose dyslexia or auditory or visual processing problems or even the underlying emotional issues, the thing that they go for is ADD, ADHD, and the quick fix is putting a child on medication. And so it hasn't really impacted the underlying issues.
Exactly.
What we found is that most of the kids who we see who come in on medication or who had a diagnosis of ADD or ADHD actually have other underlying issues that need to be addressed. And when they are, those behaviors clear up.
So give us an example of a child that came in unable to focus. They came in with a diagnosis of ADD or ADHD. If you can think of a child and specifically, share with us their story.
Well, there's a little boy I'm working with right now, and I met him when, he was about 3 years old, and Dad had come back from Iraq with PTSD and was unable to take care of him. And his mom had gone into drug use and was not able to take care of him. And he was living with his grandparents. And he had had a tremendous series of ear infections and tubes in the ears. And so, he was temper tantruming all the time. They had not been able to toilet train him. He was not able to focus. His speech was really poor, and we had him go through an auditory processing program. That changed things dramatically for him to the point that he was actually able to be enrolled in school, because before that there was no possibility that that was going to work.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, he's now in school, and I'm working with him again because he's still having some difficulty learning to read. And as we're working together, what I saw was at first there was a lot of fear about, I've been trying to do this in school, I haven't been able to do it, and he was wiggly all over the place. Once he saw that what we were doing and the way we were working with him to teach him to read, he completely settled down.
Wow.
And he's reading. It's really concerning for me. And it's, you know, so many parents come in and go, I don't want to put my child on medication, or I don't want to keep them on medication. And I really support their taking that stand. Another piece that's also available is there are a lot of children today who have food sensitivities. Mm. And food sensitivities not only affect your digestive system or your skin, they also affect how your brain functions. And so, you know, for some kids, it's finding out what it is that they're reacting to. There are a lot of kids, for example, who can't deal with gluten or with dairy, but there are a lot of other things as well. There are kids who have toxins in their system that need to come out, heavy metal toxins, that again are impacting their behavior. And I just have more and more of a sense, the more of these kids I see, that ADD and ADHD is kind of this catch-all diagnosis for when teachers or parents or doctors don't know what to do with these kids.
So you really take a multidisciplinary approach. Tell us, what does that entail?
Well, at this point, what I would love to see in communities is somebody who is doing auditory work with children, somebody who's doing nutritional work, counseling work, all of us being able to work together as a team. What typically happens is parents go from one provider to the next and get a little bit of help, but it doesn't do the whole thing, and so they drop that. For example, they might be doing nutritional work, and they see certain improvements, but it doesn't take care of the whole thing, and they go, this is too hard. They drop that, and then they may go off and do an auditory program, and that, again, will create some change, but it's not the whole picture. And it's really important to get, you know, kind of like a 360 picture of what is going on with a child, and then decide, okay, what order should things be approached in, and what really all needs to come together for this child.
And so, like, just like with that little boy, you might have a child who is having a problem reading. You might have a child who is throwing temper tantrums, which is actually very common for foster children.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, everything we've talked about so far really applies to any child or any person, but tell us specifically, why do foster children, once tested, is it very common for them to have some processing disorders and some other challenges, more so than the average child?
Well, what we know at this point is that trauma affects how the brain processes. And we also know that when tension and stress reaches a certain point, that a child is not able to deal with it any longer and will go into a meltdown. And, you know, for many children who were in foster care, they didn't get there because of lack of trauma. They got there because there was trauma, mm-hmm. and sometimes horrific trauma, in their biological family, and it's not something that they're able to deal with by themselves. And then when they come into another family, there's the trauma of loss of that family, even though it might have been abusive, and the fear that they're going to lose their next family. So that, I mean, these kids are dealing with a lot of fear, a lot of trauma, a lot of pain, and it gets re-stimulated and re-triggered in a lot of different ways, and they haven't learned how to self-regulate in many cases. That's really a skill that you need to learn.
So what can you do, whether it's biological or foster, and your child may be screaming, having meltdowns, they won't do their schoolwork, whether they're in kindergarten, it's just a few things we got to do, or whether in fifth grade or even in high school. It is not too late even in high school. I know you work with children of all ages.
Yeah.
So what would be one of the first steps a parent should do? As they're listening, they might be going, wow, I never really thought that there would be hope beyond loving the child, staying committed to them, talking to their teachers, getting a tutor. So are you saying there's something more?
Yes, yeah. For many of these children, especially if there have been drugs and alcohol in their background or lots of ear infections or sinus infections, a lot of these kids have auditory processing problems, and it affects their memory. It affects their speech. It can affect their ability to learn to read and comprehend what they're doing. And so one of the things I would do is have a child tested for auditory processing problems. And a child can have perfect hearing and still not be able to process what it is that they're hearing. And this is where things get tricky, because the schools test for hearing. They don't test for processing. Another thing is that a child can have 20/20 vision, but their eyes may not be coordinating correctly. And so you can have visual processing problems that are making it very difficult to learn to read or to be able to stay focused on reading. Again, you would want to have a visual screening. But actually, we have screenings on our websites for both auditory and visual processing problems that parents can go to and fill out, and it will let them know if those are issues that need to be explored further.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can go to abbaschild.com. You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about one of my children, that even though this is our second show, I had not even thought about testing her. And as I've been delving into it more and more, I'm going, Wow, I really need to do that. And so you might be listening, and you might honestly be thinking that we are talking about somebody else. Somebody else's children, somebody else's family. And yet, if you really think about it, you might go, oh, wait a second. I have a child who doesn't like to do schoolwork. Wait a minute. I have a child struggling in math. Huh, but she does really good in other subjects, so I thought that might be normal. Well, you know, you might be thinking some of the things that I've thought. But then I realized, but what if we can really help her in this way? Was I one of those parents who said, pay attention, focus? and so even I've been even realizing, okay, that's it. I'm taking the test with her. And so how young can you start with a child?
It depends what's going on. But for children who have auditory processing problems, we're working with children as young as 3 years old.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so exciting. Okay, well, when we come back from a break, we're also going to hear about two more children. So if you can pick out maybe a teenager that you've worked with, a different one from last time, and then another child with different challenges, maybe they presented a different way, but then we got to hear the hope. We need to have hope for our awesome children. So I'd love to hear about that when we come back. You're listening to Life Matters. Make sure to contact us through familylinkkids.com. Really, every time I hear from you, it brings a big smile on my face. I'd love to hear from you and know what's going on and what on your heart. We're also building for this weekend. We have all Saturday, taking a break for Super Bowl Sunday for you guys, but Saturday we are having a volunteer day at Legacy Ranch. You know what? It's like an hour from downtown Austin, about an hour, maybe less from downtown San Antonio, and wherever you far are, you can kind of figure out how far it is from you. So you could even take a few friends with you, go do some painting, help. Some of our kiddos might be there with their families. We're going to have a barbecue, come meet some of our staff, but just pour into a place that will be opening in a few weeks, and the lives of children and families that will be changed. I just cannot wait, but we might need your help in the meantime. And then also, if you will tell your church, we'd love to connect with your church. Your church could sponsor a work weekend and come out come out with the men's group, the women's group, even the youth group, college group. We'd love to have you out, and you could really become a part of what we're doing. We also have training coming up. February 18th is when it's starting in San Antonio. You're invited from anywhere. Come and find out about mentoring, fostering, and adopting. And by the way, free adoption, free college, and free insurance for the majority of our children. Isn't that amazing? So we will be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link Foster Care and Adoption Agency. And I'm here with Judith, founder of Abba's Child. And Judith, I just feel like even connecting with you really is a godsend, because I knew there was more we needed to do for our foster children and adopted children. And I really needed a partner in this area. And so share with us another story of a child who was really struggling, that you saw incredible improvements, where maybe those in the traditional medical community or even education community really felt like this is just the way this child is, and we're not going to really be able to help them.
Okay. I just want to respond to what you just said, though. One of the things that so concerns me about foster children, because we see so many of them in the work that we do, is that parents are at their wits' end trying to help the children and not knowing how to do it. And in many cases, there's such a struggle that goes on that these children actually end up losing their placement and get sent on somewhere else. And to me, it feels like part of the work of training foster parents and adoptive parents is to be able to identify those underlying issues and to make sure that the child, that there are interventions that take place, because it's going to make life so much better for the child and the whole family, and it's going to make that bonding relationship so much stronger.
Oh, yes. It's just as integral, as important as play therapy, as school, as all the other things that we just assume are important for their care. I think this needs to be just one of the things we do automatically. And that's I'm excited about implementing that at Family Link and seeing the changes, you know, the joy in children as they're struggling to read. They could even be 10 years old. We got to help them. And sometimes we just think as parents, well, the teachers know best. Well, the principal knows best. Well, the doctor knows best. This is an area that they really don't know best in. And I know many of the children and the families that have come to you, you're kind of the last resort. They've already tried everything else.
Right.
And they didn't know about, there was something else, something different. So we're talking about today is something different that can bring great hope, even if you've tried everything else. Well, guess what? This is different. So that's good.
most of what's out there for helping children these days is tutoring, and it's essentially giving them more of what already hasn't worked greater doses, and you really need to get at what are the underlying issues that are making it hard for this child to learn. Because for most of the kids that we work with, they are of average or above average intelligence. And that's the fear that the parent and the child has, that the child is not intelligent and can't learn, and that's just not what's going on.
You just made me think of another young lady, 14-year-old girl at Family Link, and her mom was telling me, she said, you know, we have tutoring set up, but she just doesn't want to do it. And she said, at first we thought she was just being stubborn, but she explained, listen, I'm in school all day. My brain is trying so hard. At the end of the day, when I'm supposed to do tutoring, I don't have it in me. Like, I cannot sit there.
Right.
I just can't do it. And so I realized now, this is what she needs. We need to help her brain to understand so that she can get her work done and actually understand what she's being taught during the day, not extra school, extra days. That makes total sense. Or would rather use your program, actually help her brain as opposed to with tutoring if the tutoring is not working anyways, and she wouldn't go. So it wasn't working. And so
the other thing that's so exciting and fun to watch is that, you know, kids will come in for an assessment, and they usually are being dragged in by their parents. And when we're actually able to identify what's going on, the relief in these kids is just amazing, because it's like they've been dealing with things their whole life that are hard to explain to anybody else. And once we interpret their experience for them, they just go, oh, I didn't think anybody would ever understand what this has been like. And it shifts them from, I'm incapable of learning, to, okay, I'm ready to try something new. You seem to understand what's going on here.
Oh, that's
and
so
that's
awesome.
A huge shift that takes place.
Now, one thing I know with parents in America, especially foster parents, there's a lot of appointments. You're going, oh my gosh, okay, do I have to get my children to this program? How do I do this? How can they affect the changes that we've talked about from their very own home?
Well, this is something we are so excited about, because we're able to work with people all over the country and actually all over the world at this point. And we have people calling us from various places, and we're able to do assessments and screenings either through Skype or working on with email with a parent or over the telephone, and to identify what's going on and then to train them in using one of the programs that we use. And we stay with them as they go through the program, so that as any issues come up, they have support.
So you're actually able
to talk to.
Like the auditory processing you talked about in your office, you help the family get the tools, and they can do it at home.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing, guys? And so if they're interested in doing this, what they would do is they would go to your website. First, you want to start off maybe with the assessments that you can do online. It's free. And like I said, I'm going to do one of my children. I had never really thought about possibly having one of these challenges, but I can see how it's possible. And if that's the case, then I would be remiss if I didn't try to actually help her in another way, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to do it. I encourage you guys to do it. If you're a foster parent, you need to do it. And then at that point, if it looks like there are some processing challenges or some other challenges that they're doing some self-testing for, then they would just give you a call. Wouldn't that be the next step? And just start visiting with you, and then you will help make a plan.
Yes, they can either call us, or they can email me at judith@abbaschild.com.
Oh, so I just hope that you guys feel so encouraged. If you're not a foster parent yet, trust me, you're going to probably need this info. I can think of many of our children that this is a component of a multidisciplinary team approach. This is a component that could change everything. So I'm thinking right now of children that, oh, let's do this test. Oh, let's do this. If we can do it at home, like Judith mentioned, you can even make it fun if they have the headphones on at home, having that be maybe their art time. So their brain is inputting this information, but they're also getting to do something fun at the same time. So it's not like, oh, great, an hour we're going to hate. It's, oh, great, an hour that we're going to help this child's brain and essentially help their life. But they can also have fun doing it, right?
Exactly, yes. But I want to go back. You were asking me for some stories for
the teenager. You know what? We're going to have to save that. Believe it or not, we're out of time.
Oh,
so
okay.
February, but you guys, put it on your calendar. However, if you're my friend on Facebook, just like I've posted it for today, I'll be posting it for that day. Put on your calendar February 9th. That's our next day with Judith. Judith, I feel like we should do mini series because there's so much to talk about. So I hope that we can continue our series and help many, many families.
Good.
I just so appreciate it. And you guys, go to abbaschild.com. Take the time. I really believe it will make a huge difference. And for that, I'm just so excited. Anything we can do, right? Isn't it worth it? And so make sure you go to familylinkkids.com. I'd love to hear from you. That's also a great place to donate. Every bit makes a difference, especially now that we're opening Legacy Ranch. While you're on there, take a note of our upcoming events, volunteer work weekends at Legacy Ranch, as well as training coming up February 18th. And we'll be back with you all tomorrow night. Thank you so much, Judith.
You're welcome. And I'll speak to you next week.
Yes, you'll have a great night.
Good.